This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, everyone. Well, I don't need to tell people, 2020 has been a tough year, and it's been a tough year for business. And while some have been forced to shutter their doors, others are working hard to find a way forward in economic and social conditions that few of us have had an opportunity to prepare for. Some have even found a way to thrive and expand. The Christmas rush is on, and we thought it was a good time to check in with a couple of local business owners who see how things are going and what the year has been like. Here to talk a little bit about that are Sarah Rogers. She's a franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So it's Sarah Deer now, actually.
Oh, so sorry. I was going from your email.
I worked together years ago, and I was Sarah Rogers then when I worked there.
Well, there you go. I've just fixed all that. And Chris Jarrett, he's the owner of Free Ride Mountain Sports. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. So, Sarah, I'll start with you. What's 2020 been like?
Well, 2020, I think that's the million-dollar question for everybody. It really took us by surprise because you were seeing this virus, happen all around the world, and then it just all of a sudden hit home really hard. So it was a struggle for a while, but we're definitely getting back on our feet right now.
It's an ill wind that doesn't bring some good. And Chris, 2020 has been a bit unusual for you as well.
Yeah, well, it started off a bit strange for sure, but we picked up a lot of momentum with people wanting to get more involved with outdoor activity. And we're a bicycle retailer, so bikes were a perfect fit for outdoor activity and doing something with a small group of people or by yourself. So actually, we've had record sales because of it.
Is that right? Record sales.
Yeah, and that's a nationwide or pretty much worldwide situation that has happened. And right now, it was so to the extreme that the entire industry, the bicycle industry, has been caught off guard, and the supply chain is just basically destroyed right now. We have seasonal sales in the wintertime with snow bikes or fat bikes, they're commonly known as, for riding on snow. We usually sell, maybe 25 to 75 annually. We were able to get only 30, and they were pre-sold before anybody even seen pictures of the new product. They were all pre-sold. So the supply chain is the big problem we're facing right now, but I'm sure it'll get worked out.
Sarah, you're a franchise operator. Have you found the supply chain issue to be affecting your business as well?
Oh, big time. For for the work boots, definitely. There's been a couple brands that, they're made over the world and their factories are shut down. So we've definitely noticed that, but we've done our best to keep up with it and off-source other suppliers. just doing the best we can to make sure everybody can get their PPE. And that was a big struggle for us as well when we were closed and we weren't allowed to help those people. So we ended up donating 1,450 scrub tops and bottoms just to help out.
Sarah, you your business deals mainly with workwear, of course, and the construction industry is one of those sort of bright spots, has been one of those bright spots this past year. Has that driven business in your area?
Definitely. So when we started off, we weren't actually able to fill online orders. So when we first shut down, we went from to zero revenue overnight. When we were able to do curbside pickup, that is what we saw coming in, was people looking for scrubs, for work boots, for reflective gear, anything that they needed to do their job in the outdoors, because, of course, all that stuff was outdoors, so it kept going. It wasn't shut down. So that was a lot of what we saw. And we also saw a big upturn in, like, hiking boots and gear for outdoors, of course, people doing more activities outside.
And you say you played a role in supplying PPE as well?
Yeah, so when we first shut down, we weren't allowed to make any sales because we were shut down. And we said, well, we were getting all kinds of calls. We were getting messages to our social media. How do I get my scrubs? I'm still working in the hospital. How do I get these things? So what we did is we got a crew of our staff together at each store, and we got together. It was about $30,000 value cost worth of scrub tops and bottoms, and we got that all sorted out and delivered to the Healthcare Foundation for distribution to the frontline workers that really needed it.
And how did it feel to be able to play that kind of a role?
It felt really good. They didn't have access, and we wanted to give back to the people who supported us all these years, and it felt great to be able to do that.
Chris, you mentioned you had record sales so far this year, largely because people mm-hmm. were out and about during the summer months. Is that true heading mm-hmm. now into the fall and winter?
Yeah, it's continued for sure. We have pre-sold a lot of the spring booking. We're trying to be pretty conservative with that because we still don't, we're not 100% sure all our booking orders will be filled. So, yeah, I think I'm definitely looking at 24 months of consistent business, pretty much the same as what we've seen. No problem. We were on kind of an upswing, the outdoor sports activities and mountain biking especially was definitely on an upswing in St. John's the last 2 years regardless. But, I mean, it just really spiked. And a common comment we were hearing was, you know, I was thinking about getting a bike and here's my opportunity. And a lot of people came back, you know, when they came back to get their bike checked over or repaired, they were saying it was the best decision they ever made.
When it comes to some of these supply chain issues that you have encountered, did that force you to pivot and find new, you know, suppliers?
Well, I mean, we've been working with some stuff, but we are actually at we're pretty much at the top dealer for many of our bicycle supplies. So we've been pretty we've been reassured that our bookings would be filled. We upped our season initial bookings some areas by 100%. So just to, you know, mitigate that if there is a shortfall. So if we get 85%, I think we're going to be pretty good. I mean, I've been at this for almost 25 years. So, you know how to deal with overstock or no inventory at all. So it's not really anything I can't handle. I feel pretty confident.
My guests today on Target St. John's are Sarah Deer. She's a franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse. And Chris Jarrett, he's the owner of Freeride Mountain Sports. We're talking about COVID in business. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guests today are Sarah Deer. She is a franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse in the St. John's region. And Chris Jarrett, he's the owner of Freeride Mountain Sports. Two very different types of businesses, but both of you have seen a certain amount of success this year, despite all the odds. Chris, you mentioned the supply chain issues that you've encountered. Are there any identified business opportunities in that, perhaps?
Not for me. I mean, we're just a retailer, but I'm sure there's lots of people that are their heads are spinning within the bicycle industry for sure. After the pandemic is solved here, the bicycle industry, well, I know, will, and many other industries will look very different. I think one thing that would be definitely what people would start considering more closely, though, is more manufacturing back close to home within Canada. Like your other guest mentioned, the boots supply chain was interrupted. We once had a boot manufacturing facility right here in Newfoundland. I mean,
we did.
opportunity right there to spark that one back up again.
Well, indeed, and Harbor Grace benefited from that for many years with Terra Shoes,
yeah.
And a lost opportunity there for sure. But it's opened our eyes, hasn't it, to just how dependent we are on these supply chains, when really there may be opportunities here for us to be a little more independent. Do you think so, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that was a big loss with Terra, and I mean, it felt great being able to put those in our store and knowing that they were made right here. So I think the opportunity, you know, if it would arise, I mean, our franchise would support it.
So when it comes to, you know, seizing those kinds of opportunities as a franchise owner, it might be a little bit different, I'm not sure, but what kind of support do you get as a franchise operator, and what kind of opportunities there that you can exploit locally that may be different here than somewhere else, let's say, for instance?
Well, as a franchise, we actually have a lot of opportunity. It was one of my projects pre-pandemic that I was looking into carrying more local entrepreneur things in our store. Right now we have, for example, I don't know if you've heard of Indigena. So we have some products by her, the skincare line. Some of those things we sell in store. There's a lady that does tree hug earrings. So she manufactures the earrings from real trees in Newfoundland, and then she paints them, and they're really, really nice. So we've gotten into those kind of opportunities. I was looking into, you know, putting Newfoundland chocolate in. We just have more options to be able to support local retailers as a franchise.
And Chris, I know that I've talked to some business owners, and they've said, you know, that COVID has given them an opportunity to work on their business rather than in their business. But you've been flat out by the sounds of it. Have you had an opportunity to breathe and say, okay, I'm going to do this now next year, or those kinds of things?
Yeah, well, definitely, because our orders were upped, we seized the opportunity to expand business, and we're that's what we're working on right now. So I'm basically managing a renovation of the second floor above our current location, which is more than double our size, our shop size, and also working with suppliers to secure product for next year. So yeah, it's extremely busy for me right now, but I think I prefer to be busy under the circumstances. It seems to really be the best distraction for the current worldwide pandemic, for me, to be exact. But back to that point about opportunities, I think one thing that probably worth discussing is the Shop Local campaign that was sparked up basically right from the get-go. And this was one of the best things I've seen in terms of a retailer in St. John's. Is people really gravitated to that, and it really made a difference. And it's great to see those larger operations that are nationwide, like Mark's Worker House, trying to source local product. That, I mean, that's as good as supporting the local manufacturers or suppliers is as good as actually supporting the locally owned businesses.
And that has been the mantra this year, especially Shop Local. We've always been trying to send that message as a province, really people have seemed to glom onto it. But in some ways, Sarah, some people see the franchise as not as local, but I suppose you have something to say about that.
Well, I know. It's really hard to look at, three big box stores.
It's not Amazon.
It's not. We're definitely not Amazon. that would be nice, I guess. But no, we really are local. We started out as that little tiny store in the Village Mall. And my family, my parents, they grew it so that I had the opportunity to operate it as an adult. We've been operating it for 31 years, and we really, although we are, you know, linked to the corporate marks, it was so far long ago that we, you know, got this franchise and bought into the marks community, that we really are local right from the core. We've done everything, you know, along with marks and supporting them, but also in our own ways. And I guess the other thing is, too, that we're hiring local, and we promote within our our employees, and we try to keep, we've seen people come in from high school and go all the way through to university and stay even after that while they're looking for a different job. It's full circle with us.
Is that an important message to consider for people who might be looking at big box stores and saying, well, they're not really local, I'll go to another place or whatever? Or is it really about getting away from the Amazons of the world, like Chris just said?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I'm sure like even a lot of the Canadian Tires here are locally owned as well. And I know that we're like more of a medium sized business ourselves, but we do consider ourselves to be local, and we like to support local as much as possible within our stores, like I previously mentioned. And yeah, I think it's just great that everybody kind of shops within their community. That's what's going to save our planet, is if we keep shopping within our local community.
Yeah, I think if you break down the term, what is local, it makes a lot of sense. If a business it doesn't really necessarily matter if a business has 10, 20 stores across the country. If they set up a operation in our community and are hiring local, renting or contributing to the overall economics, I mean, that's as good as local as you can get. I guess basically what people want to do is, if they want to really try to shop local, is do that research on that. I mean, just hearing that the history of the Mark's Work Warehouse here in St. John's, I'm a little bit more enlightened there to know just how invested they are in the community here. So it really comes, I think for me, it makes a lot more sense. If someone's, you know, like I said, if they're invested, they have their setup here, it's a lot better to go to that store than to get online and buy from Amazon. I think Amazon, you know, and these bigger mail order operations, I don't think their operations are sustainable. And I think the one of the things that's going to probably you know, hit their demise is the shop local mantra that's happening throughout Canada right now.
I saw a recent investigative piece, I believe, by Marketplace about, you spoke about sustainable. I'm sure you were talking about economically sustainable, but also environmentally sustainable. There was some very eye-opening revelations made in that particular program.
And their employment, anyways, not to get to bashing on their business, but their employment, you know, is questionable. Their employment standards are might be under scrutiny as well. So I'm not really sure. But look, regardless of that, I think it's a lot easier to get out there, visit some local businesses or any business that is actually set up here. It's a lot better to keep as much money within our small province as we can.
And Sarah, you were going to jump in there. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to jump in just before we move on from the local. But yeah, like one thing that's really important to remember too is all these local businesses, we're the ones that are supporting, you know, like the sports in the community. The Janeway is a huge, huge thing for us, supporting them. And then other various organizations that come in and they need maybe a gift card for an auction, or, you know, we're giving away Mark's cards as part of the Coffee Matters does a bag for the gathering place. So we decided to put in a few gift cards for that. It's just, we've been a big sponsor of hockey in Mount Pearl for a long time. The Blades.
Paying taxes as well.
Yeah.
And I want to get into that whole idea of paying taxes when we come back after the break, because the St. John's City budget is coming down. They've already signaled that it's not going to be a happy document in many ways. So I want you to take some time to think about that. And when we come back, we'll have a little bit of discussion about that. My guests today on Target St. John's are Sarah Deer. She's a franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse. Second generation, she just tells us. And Chris Jarrett, he's the owner of Freeride Mountain Sports in the downtown. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Guests today on Target are Sarah Deer, a franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse, and Chris Jarrett, the owner of Freeride Mountain Sports. And Chris, the St. John's City budget is coming down next week. What do you expect?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I mean, I would hope that the we can get a little more money for sidewalks clearing. That'd be great. The city budget doesn't actually really impact my business that much, to be honest with you. It's more of a personal thing, but not really a big impact on our business.
Well, it could have an impact in that the city has already signaled that it's facing some major shortfalls. Is taxation the way through that, or should there be some breaks or incentives for local business, Sarah?
I think there should definitely be, at least don't raise the taxes. But I mean, I'm kind of the same way. Like it affects us, but just like everybody else. So we're just kind of hoping, I mean, to go back to the snow clearing point. Sometimes, you know, we find like the snow clearing can be focused to one area of the city as opposed to around our store. Sometimes can be a bit more housing and things like that. So even though our parking lots are cleared, sometimes the roads are not always cleared leading up to our area, the shop first. So that was a big problem this year. But other than that, you know, I guess, yeah, taxes would be nice if we had a break or if they stayed, you know, at least didn't go up.
Well, snow clearing, we always seem to end up talking about snow clearing. And we just came out of this extraordinary year when it came to Snowmageddon. Does anybody remember that? But you mentioned sidewalk clearing. Is there a solution for that, Chris?
Just do it properly. I think the main solution is put someone on the job that actually would take it serious. It's not hard to tell that the people that sometimes are in charge of doing it are just not really giving it their all. And yeah, you know, a better plan, a little more money toward that. I mean, it's not, doesn't really make a lot of sense that, you have infrastructure, the sidewalks, that are only can be used for 12 months of the year or 6 months of the year or 7 months of the year. It'd be better to, you know, use that infrastructure and investment that you have in that and have them cleared properly. I think for me, like, you see business in the wintertime, you know, it goes up and down depending on the weather, more so than any other time of the year. I think that maybe, you know, like the city of St. John's might want to look into the economic impact of not actually clearing the sidewalks and or clearing the streets in commercial areas, well. But I'm not saying they don't do a good job. They do a great job. Last year was an incredible year for snow. It was amazing what they did to clear that snow and get everybody up and running again. But, the sidewalks definitely is a big issue. Water Street has seen its ups and downs with proper clearing of the sidewalks. And definitely it impacts businesses down here. And I think it might have had a little bit of it might have contributed to some people not wanting to frequent downtown or other people not wanting to set up businesses downtown. But in the last 2 or 3 years, they have made some great improvements on Water Street.
Some of the big box stores usually don't have a big problem with parking. There's usually ample room for parking. But Chris, have the city has put in a lot of initiatives to get more parking in the downtown. How is that working? Do you find people have gotten through that mental barrier saying there's no parking?
My clientele has no problem. I can tell you that right now. But you do still hear grumbling a lot about the parking downtown. I think, once again, a better plan, long-term plan, more people on the job thinking about it would be I don't really know what the details are about what the planning is, though, to be honest. But, you know, I think it's getting better all the time. And right now, this past year was pretty good, actually. There was a lot of business operations that moved out and, you know, they set up their own buildings, mainly oil and gas companies. So I think that freed up a lot of parking where their staff was using meter parking. And that, I think I've seen that this year as a big improvement. Even with Water Street closed for, I think it was 3 months, we still didn't really see much of a parking issue. So I think it's the problem has subsided a fair amount, and it might have something to do with the city taking more initiative with it, for sure.
Sarah, has you mentioned off the top that when there was a shutdown, there was a shutdown, and you weren't able to really get going again until you started doing the sidewalk pickup type things. Has online shopping played a role in your business this year, and are there more opportunities there?
Massive role in our business this year, I have to say. We are swimming in orders, but we're also getting the customers in the store, which we love to see as well, and we are able to keep them safe with all the protocols that we have in place. But yeah, we're definitely seeing, because, you know, there's some people that are still scared at this point and they want to shop online, and we're happy that they have the ability to do that. And then the people that are comfortable enough to come into the store, we're happy to see them as well. So yeah, online, there's definitely a big impact. It's going towards online. You can just tell that's the way things are going anyway. But we, like I said, we still like to keep that bricks and mortar going, because although you're not allowed to try anything on right now because of the pandemic, you know, eventually when all this is behind us, we like to have people come in and they can touch and feel and see, even right now, even to see it in person.
Well, indeed, I'm a bit old fashioned that way. I have to have that tactile experience. I have to be able to say, you know, that shirt, for instance, looks great on the hanger. What's it going to look like on me? I have to try it on. I have to look at it. I have to decide myself what it's like. Is the same true, Chris, for your type of offerings there? Do you, you know, do people want that tactile experience of sitting down on the bike, having a feel if it, you know, fits their body, so to speak?
100%. I mean, it really, we are strictly a bricks and mortar. We do sales, but it's still just a conversation on the phone. It's an old, it's the old school method. And, you know, we have customers from, we have ex Newfoundlanders that live all around the country and once bought bikes here and continue to buy bikes here. So that's pretty good frequent business for us, but we are definitely bricks and mortars. And you know, we still encourage that, with the current supply chain, I just don't see a supply chain problem. I don't see us, delving into that currently, but it's you know, I'm watching the industry, see how it's going, but it's not really a strong thing in the bicycle industry. It's not really even competition for us, so I don't feel I need to delve in there just yet, but keeping an eye on it for sure.
Chris, you almost alluded to it there, and I was wondering about Newfoundlanders and Labradorians and brand loyalty. We know some iconic brands that Newfoundlanders and Labradorians have really taken to heart, you know, Fussell's Cream, for instance, when that went missing there a few years ago, or the pickles and all of that sort of stuff. People feel very fierce about those kinds of things. Does that kind of brand loyalty extend to your business, Chris?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, people feel comfortable talking to me and my staff more so than they might, you know, ordering from somewhere else or going to the shop where they live. You know, you develop friendships more or less with your customers. So, yeah, there's definitely a loyalty to our store and our brand for sure. There's no question about it.
Same true for you, Sarah?
Oh, 100%. We definitely have, you know, like our Wind River and our Denver Haze. Like people, it's good quality clothing. It's always been good quality clothing. And they're starting to come out with even some newer stuff for the ladies, like the Shambhala. And, you know, that's like a brand of, you know, active and yoga wear. And you can just tell people have come for years and years and they're saying, oh, I need the Wind River that I've always worn. And we're actually trying to get the old Wind River crew necks back next year. Mm-hmm. So we're working on to all the franchises having those made together. So we're hoping to actually go back to that because of brand loyalty. People have been looking for these particular sweatshirts for years and we haven't had access to it until now. So yeah, definitely brand loyalty with us as well.
What about the importance of customer service? I've noticed in, especially since the pandemic, anytime I go into a retail store or a restaurant or a grocery store for that matter, there's always somebody there saying, hey, how are you doing? Come here. What are you looking for? You know, those kinds of things. And it makes you feel good when somebody recognizes you, say, hey, Chris, what are you looking for? I know you were looking for this before. Is that what you're after today? Or, you know, I was thinking about you the other day when I was going through my order catalog, and I said, this is the perfect thing for you. How important is customer service, Chris?
It's the most important thing for us. There's no question about it. It's why people keep coming back. Maybe 10 years ago, we pivoted the business to be exclusively off-road and leaving all other sports activities behind. At one point, we used to sell winter equipment such as snowboards and so on. And just by being able to be very specialized has allowed us to deliver like what I would call the utmost in service. It's been challenging this year because with the uptick in sales and a lot of new customers. But I think for the most part, people, you know, they know what they're getting when they come here. And it's usually a super high quality of service. After all, we do sell pretty high-end product, very specialty product. So because of that, I mean, people definitely not necessarily demand, but they would expect a lot of advice and service that comes along with that. So it's definitely our main thing. There's no question about it.
Has COVID made customer service a little more challenging, Sarah?
In some ways. I mean, that relationship that you have with some of your customers, it's harder because everyone's coming in and they have masks on and whatnot. But I mean, to keep the capacity in order, we have somebody usually sitting at the door, like a greeter, and keeping track of the numbers. And I even did that myself on Friday for one of the stores. So, you know, we're just making people feel welcome. Come in, here's some hand sanitizer and whatnot. So, you know, but either way, we still have a lot of employees in the store in addition to our capacity that are available to the customers at any time to help them. And we still try to keep everybody top of mind and keep our staff really happy because that trickles down into the atmosphere in the store. So, I mean, you know, we're still trying to offer the exact same type of customer service, just 6 feet apart.
It seems to me that businesses are really starting to recognize the fundamental things that make that shopping experience so important for people. I mean, it's one thing to walk into a store, look around, not get any help, not see what you're looking for, not being able to ask anybody if this kind of thing that you're looking for is even available. It's a whole other experience for someone to say, call you by name for starters, or to know the owner or know the manager and have that rapport. I think a lot of that has been missing in recent years, but we seem to be redeveloping it. Do you feel that that's true, Chris?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. The service has in the retail sector has and as well as hospitality, restaurants, etc., has definitely changed. I think that's just, it's been. I would contribute that more to a societal change. I feel that generally people are happier, more pleasant. The younger generations are certainly that way, and. It's a lot better to have a happy, fun environment than to be over serious or overworked. There's definitely been a massive change in the world or in retail in the last several years. I've noticed it myself when I go places. You know, the grumpy people don't work there anymore. they got the boot, so people only want pleasant people working in their it generally, you know, it's you're at work all day. That seems like the best model regardless anyway. So yeah, I think it's been big improvements in the last several years.
And from a sales perspective, I suppose there's nothing more frustrating for a business owner than to have a customer leave frustrated or angry.
No, yeah, no, that's not good. That's not what you want at all. No, that's definitely not what you want.
No.
My guests today on Target St. John's are Sarah Deer. She's a franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse here in the metro region. And Chris Jarrett, he's the owner of Freeride Mountain Sports. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And my guests today are two local business operators. They are Sarah Deer with Mark's Work Warehouse and Chris Jarrett, the owner of Free Ride Mountain Sports. And Chris, while we've been hearing a lot over the last number of months of businesses struggling to stay afloat, you found yourself in the enviable position of expanding. What's that been like?
Yeah, I feel terrible for a lot of my fellow business people, especially down here on Water Street, struggling along. It definitely feels it can be heartbreaking, but I can't be overjoyed about our success. But it does feel good that people. What makes me feel good about it is that people were smart enough to seize the opportunity to do outdoor activity and get out there and participate in something that could keep them healthy and safe from the spread of this virus that is, you know, it's basically got the world in a clutch. It's, you know, and to the expansion, it's definitely required at this point. Maybe even go further to include other municipalities for other locations. So, yeah, I this was always the goal, but you know, because it happened during this situation, I mean, there's not much you can say about it, really.
Sarah, you've also found yourself in the position of benefiting from people, I guess, finally having a little bit of free time for themselves and thinking about active living. How do you keep that momentum going now?
Well, to keep the momentum going, it's going to take, a lot of work. And Mark's corporately is doing a really, really good job with our marketing to show the different, like our new motto now will be keep it simple. So we're trying to show the variety of things that we have, whether you're working at home or you are that active person, all these things that, you know, it pairs with the bike business, things you can wear when you go biking, things you can go when you go hiking, if you're working at home, if you're exercising, just to keep up that momentum, like keep it simple. We have what you need to keep it simple and at really good prices and quality.
Are you comfortable with where you are now, Chris, or how do you stay on people's radar, and do you expand beyond our shores?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we're definitely looking at. The expansion for us is actually the transition to a larger showroom space is going to be easy. Even if under the supply chain problem, we're still going to be able to fill this store up. So, I mean, if you can overcome that, I think that, yeah, I mean, there's definitely an opportunity for bigger growth. Who knows, you know, going to keep everything, all options open for sure.
Sarah, how important is a good business plan? I would say it would be very hard to imagine there were many business owners out there prepared for what happened this year. But how important is a good business plan to be able to pivot, move, seize opportunities, fill gaps, build business when what's happening around you has never been seen before?
Well, a good business plan would definitely be an asset. I mean, what happened to us this year, that's the first time it's ever happened in our 31 years of business. And we were able to pivot, and we were able to change things and work with our association. And, yeah, we're able to overcome it. So we definitely, you know, my mom still works in the office, and she is the financial planner of the business, and she does a great job at that. So that was, I contribute a lot of it to her and to my father for all the years of experience he had. And that's the only reason we were able to get through this, and all of our hardworking staff. We were able to actually have such a good business plan that we were able to keep 25 employees on and paid for 8 weeks before the wage subsidy even kicked in. So.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is indeed. Chris, I heard you react when I used the words business plan. Is it an important feature in your business?
Oh, for sure. I'm constantly writing plans. I write plans for about everything I do, honestly.
You know, I'm actively involved in trail development for mountain biking as well. Constantly making plans for that. Yeah, business plan. It's the most important thing I can tell anybody about a business plan is, you know, keep it flexible. Always be adjusting. The plan that I have always had for expansion is actually just falling right in place for us right now. So this is probably why it's happening very naturally for me and my business.
And it's, of course, it's important to plan for boom times as well as bust. I think a lot of people, when they consider going into business, they're trying to find those mitigations to deal with, a downturn in business. But when you suddenly find yourself booming, you have to be able to manage your way through that as well, don't you, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing that I've seen happen over the last, I would say maybe in the last 5 years, is it's hard to put a finger down on what affects economics. Everything is so fluid and fast happening that, like, a downturn, what might appear to be a downturn, it could actually be a serious upswing for you. We had some downturns that we struggled through. You know, 9/11 was a tough one. It was difficult operating a business after that, and the fall of the stock market in 2009 was definitely a challenging time where we lost our supplier credit drop downs significantly, as much as 90%. So, that those type of things don't seem to have that same effect anymore. Everything is quite fluid. I know that it's economics in Newfoundland right now, probably not that rosy, but I don't see that. And I hear from other businesses that are doing well, construction. The fact that people can't travel is leaving a lot of dollars on the ground here as well. So, your business plan has to be pretty diverse.
Sarah, we have just over 2 minutes left. Some final thoughts?
That we just got to keep on moving through this, support local, support each other, be kind while you're out there. It's a really busy season. There's a lot of fear right now, but there's also a lot of joy out there. You just have to look for it sometimes. And we hope that our customers are happy coming into our store. We're happy to have them in our store. But just be kind out there and keep in mind everybody's working really hard. It's going to be a different Christmas this year, but we just got to keep going through and coming together as a community.
Chris, one overriding theme I've heard from both of you is this sense of optimism. Final thoughts?
Yeah, super optimistic. I mean, I think this has definitely taught me a lot about businesses and how to operate, during something like this. You never would expect it. So I'm hopefully going to be able to pass on this information that I've learned to young entrepreneurs coming up in the future, for sure.
Well, both of you, thank you very much for a very eye-opening conversation. Really appreciate your time. Sarah Dean, franchise operator with Mark's Work Warehouse, and Chris Jarrett, owner of Freeride Mountain Sports. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And we'll be back tomorrow with another interesting show, no doubt. It will be at 1 o'clock. Thanks for listening.